As Audrey Hepburn once said, nothing is impossible. The word itself says, I'm possible. Welcome, everyone, to another super cool episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by me, Amelia Dalton. And yes, we are going into the world of the newly possible this week, and it's going to be fantastic. Please welcome Kevin Sellers from Avnet. Kevin and I are talking about how Avnet is collaborating with Not Impossible Labs to do some truly amazing stuff. Let's go. Hi, Kevin. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we're here today to talk about Avnet's collaboration with Not Impossible Labs. But before we get into that, let's talk about the Not Impossible Awards. So, Kevin, what were these awards all about? And you guys were the title sponsor last year, correct?
Correct, yes. So the awards were kind of the inaugural version of this that took place during CES in January of this past year, actually January of 2018, so about 10 months ago. And really what the awards were about is recognizing the startup and innovative community that were putting in the market really unique applications for technology that were designed to improve the human condition in some way or another. So, for example, one of the award winners was a person who created a DNA tester so they could DNA test instantly for rape victims to try and find a rapist quickly. Another was about using 3D and hologram technology to help those that had perhaps autism or other challenges in their lives to, they could put them in situations and train them in a low stress environment to be more able to interact with others in public. So there was a number of award winners. It was just such an amazing collection of innovators and the ability to honor and recognize them for their work and how they're using technology to improve the human condition was really, really a great treat for us to be a part of.
Okay, so there are two parts of this collaboration I'd like to talk about today. First, let's talk about VibroHealth. Now, Kevin, what is this technology all about?
Well, VibroHealth is a technology that has been developed not too long ago, but what it does is it takes sound, wave, and vibration technology, and it can be used on patients that have involuntary movement challenges. So, for example, perhaps, you know, one example would be someone who has Parkinson's, who has involuntary movements. They may be one for whom this works, and basically what it does is the sound, wave, and vibration technology can interrupt those involuntary movements such that it can provide symptom relief. So it's not a cure, but it does provide symptom relief for many individuals, really, which allows them to have a much higher quality of life, really living the life that they used to have before those involuntary movements came into their life. So that's really what it's about, is helping those with those symptoms to have a better quality of life.
Okay, Kevin, let's talk about Music Not Impossible, which allows deaf people to experience music. Kevin, I'm super excited about this one. Tell me more about it.
So this was kind of born out of the same technology, using sound waves and vibration. If you were to watch or to see someone who was deaf, many of them, they don't go to concerts, but some do. And what they do is they can experience the music if they stand right in front of a speaker, or sometimes they'll hold a balloon or something to kind of sense the vibrations. So this technology takes this to a whole new experiential level by taking each of the different instruments and breaking the sound waves of those instruments into individual channels, sending that to a different part of the skin of the body, allowing for the deaf person to actually not just feel overall vibrations, but to experience each of the individual musical instruments sort of in their purity. So they get a sense of the symphony of music that comes to a concert listener, almost a hack around the ear that doesn't work, and it gets the sound and the vibrations into the brain, allowing a deaf person to experience music like you would if you were not deaf.
So you guys hosted an invite-only concert that featured this technology, right?
Correct, yes. A couple weekends ago at Life is Beautiful, which is an annual festival in Las Vegas, we had a concert where we brought in a band, and we had about 200 or so individuals at the event. Roughly half of them were deaf, the other half were not deaf, but everyone in attendance was wearing the device and was able to experience this music, this technology, real time. And And it was really an amazing experience. The deaf, you could just see the joy in their faces and the emotion that they felt as they could experience all of the different aspects of a concert in a way they never had been able to before. So that was what was so special about it, was it was really the inaugural large-scale demo of the technology, and it came off just flawlessly, and the reward really was in the faces and in the emotional responses we saw from the deaf. It was truly a stunning event.
So, Kevin, what does the future look like for this collaboration with Not Impossible Labs?
Well, that's a great question. There's a number of technologies we're working on, but initially it's these two, the Music Not Impossible and the VibroHealth product that we're working with to really what AVNET does is we can help take these ideas, we refine their designs, we improve the overall technology and the experience, we bring sort of that end-to-end capability, meaning we can bring the hardware and the software and the security and the analytics and everything together for them. And then we can also help them with the manufacturing. And we're doing all of that so that we can bring this concept, which we've proven now to work and work at scale, now bring it to market. So we're working through those steps now about how to launch the product in terms of where do we want to launch it, when do we want to launch it. But expect sometime in the, you know, probably the first half of next year that you'll see both of these products in the marketplace available to consumers. Now, the music product is probably one where, you know, either an artist or a venue or like a Live Nation or a Ticketmaster or a company like that might actually have these devices, and a concert goer could rent them and pay an extra fee to experience this. And this can be for the deaf. It can also be for the non-deaf. Really, it actually just elevates the entire experience regardless of your hearing situation. We're working through partners and launch vehicles and some other things as we refine this. And then the health product is one that we're in a number of trials currently, and they're going really, really well. And again, we're on track to launch that sometime in the first half of next year as well, that consumers will be able to purchase this for anyone suffering with involuntary movement.
Excellent. So, Kevin, you attended this Life is Beautiful concert in Las Vegas, correct?
I did, yes.
Now, I know we touched upon it briefly before, but tell me more about it. What was your experience like at that concert?
Well, it was really amazing. It has wristbands for both wrists, a couple of ankle bands for both ankles, and then a vest. And it was a very light sort of neoprene fabric vest, and it was very cool because not only was it vibrations for you to experience the musical instruments, but it also had lights so that it lit up to the different, as the musical instrument sound wave came into the device, it also provided a light experience. So it was sort of very multi-sensory, not just feeling, but also a very visually arresting experience for everyone that was wearing these vests. But I have to tell you, you know, I'm a live music fan. I've been to a lot of concerts and just really love music. I have children that are very musically talented and play in bands and so forth. And I have never had an experience like this. I have a son that's a drummer, so I'm kind of partial to drumming, and I love it. And every time the drummer in the band would play a roll or a riff, you could feel it go through your wrists and your ankles. Perfect synchronicity, perfect unison. And I just kept saying how cool it was because I was seeing it, I was hearing it, but then I was feeling it in a way that you just can't any other way. So it was really, I think, a look into the future of what live events and musical experience will be, that will bring in multiple senses now and create experiences that we've never been able to before. And I think that's the beauty of technology, and it's the beauty of what some really smart engineers can do that have a great idea on how we can bring this together to create really interesting, fun, and unifying experiences for those that are hard of hearing and those that aren't.
I think that's all I have time for today, but thank you so much for joining me, Kevin. This was super cool, and I really look forward to hearing more about these technologies in the future.
Well, we look forward to sharing with you. Thanks for having me.
So it's possible for you to hear what I hear, but can you see what I see? In this week's News You May Have Missed, we're changing up smart glasses as we know it, with a little help from Leti and some holographic images projected directly into your eye. Yes, really. So, researchers at Leti are currently working on a prototype of augmented reality glasses that, yes, instead of displaying something, would project those images directly into your eye. Now, one of the cornerstone goals of this project is to create a version of augmented reality glasses that are indistinguishable from traditional glasses. So, exactly how are they going about doing this? So, this new type of display would actually project individual pixels in rapid succession that would be stitched together by our brain to form letters and words. Now, these pixels are actually created by photons from a light source, a laser probably, that are shown through a light guiding component. And then from there, that light is then pushed into a holographic optical element that has been designed into the lens of the glass. Now, as you can probably imagine, without some kind of defining force, this would just be a jumble of pixels without any coherence or shape. To determine that, there are two problems to be solved: the synchronization of the photons and the coherence, or the shape, that the photons are creating. For the synchronization part, getting all those photons to start and finish at the same time, this team actually used a holographic element to synchronize these photons by matching the phase with a reference beam. For that coherence part, getting the photons to actually look like something, this team from LETI is using a grid of light guides that utilizes an integrated photonics approach that actually incorporates a common semiconductor fabrication technique that's used today. Now, one of the keys to this whole retinal projection thing are the recent developments in integrated photonics, which have moved from applications using telecommunication wavelengths into visible wavelengths that can be used in displays. So right now, the dimensions this team is looking at for their first prototype is only about 300 by 300 pixels, so kind of small, and will need to be static, monochromatic images for now. But the researchers at LETI are confident that this new retinal projection approach can be used for a full, dynamic, multicolored display. LETI research team leader Christopher Martinez goes on to explain that this information could actually be projected to the left and right portions of the field of view with no information in between, without increasing the complexity of the display. Now, LETI is currently concentrating on the augmented reality market, but this concept could quite easily lend itself to applications for people with vision problems. Christopher Martinez explains it like this: the disturbance present in the eye could be integrated into the projection, giving visually impaired people a way to see information such as text. Geordi's visor from Star Trek will be here sooner than later, my friends. Yes! Now, if you want any further information about this new technology being developed at LETI, I've included a link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. Good stuff in there, I'm telling you. And if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, folks. Keyword EE Journal. It is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, including more information about how Avnet and Not Impossible Labs are working together, I've included a whole bunch of links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, I love that stuff. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of October 12th, 2018, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.